And she was a very active, you know, girl. And so we used to sit in the, like, couple of rows from the front, you know, these very organized churches. And, you know, she always wanted to stand, you know, on my laps and, you know, do, you know, her gigs and things like that when the pastor is preaching. And one guy who was, you know, sitting next to me, he must have been single. You know, he looked at us with, you know, such bad eyes. It's like, come on, guys, you know, put a rein on that kid. And, you know, we were just, you know, young parents and, you know, we tried to hold a guy. But the funny thing, though, was the pastor had noticed, you know, my daughter trying to make things. And they were like, you know, hello, hello. You're like, come on, did you see that, you know? So today I just want to let you know that it is okay, you know, if you just handle your children the best way that you can. If you're not able to, it's fine. They are in their father's house. Hallelujah. They are in their father's house and we love them and we care for them, all right? Don't feel bad and don't feel guilty that your kids are running around or doing whatever you can. I know we are all good parents and we want the best for them. So when they don't do what we want them to do, we understand. Some of you are worse than them. Hallelujah. Well, we are so happy that we are in the house of God today. You know, sometimes we take things for granted. But do you know, for you to be in the church today, it's a miracle. It's a miracle because you're alive. It's a miracle because you're alive. You're not sick. You're not in hospital. You're not admitted. You don't have all those tubes and wires and whatever they are that they put through the bodies. That you're alive and well. Surely there is something to thank God for. I am so delighted today to know that I'm alive and well. And the worship team has just reminded us that because God reigns. You know, to me, honestly, that has been such a reminder, such a powerful reminder that when our God reigns, there is no situation, there is nothing that can hinder his move. All that we need to do is to allow ourselves, to allow the Spirit of God to move through us, to allow that God who reigns to minister to our hearts today. Our announcements for the week, I'm just taking a small break so you all can relax. I know you're just feeling so good, so heavenly, so blessed. But we still do have announcements for the week. Bible study on Thursdays, please come. Prayer meeting on Wednesdays, please come. These prayer meetings are powerful. That's where you're able to connect. That's when you're able to open your heart and say, these are the issues. Sometimes, you know, I understand that sometimes in church, it's hard to come and open up and say, you know, this is what I'm going through because some issues are very personal. But on Wednesdays, you can come and open up to a group of prayer intercessors and they'll pray with you. They will stand with you. And for Thursday, for those of you that are seeking to grow in the Word of God, come on, this is a wonderful moment to come and seek the Word of God. Praise the Lord. God is a good. Has God been good to you this last week? Yes. He has been good to me. I know there are some of you that God has been opening doors that you never thought in the wildest imagination that they would ever be open, and they were open this last week. There are some of you who met people that you never met, and this last week you just met them because God is a God of purpose. You're not here in this world purposeless. You are not an aimless wanderer. You're a person on a mission. God created you for a reason and for a purpose. And even in being to the church, in this church today, there is a reason why God literally dragged you here. Because I know some of you, I have an idea where some of you are yesterday. But God dragged you to be here so that God may minister to you. So that you may have a word, a specific word in your life today. Praise the Lord. It is a good time to allow the man of God to come and minister to us in word. Let's rise up. Let's give a hand to Pastor Tony as he comes to ministers. Pastor, welcome. Minister to the church. God bless you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You may have your seats in the presence of the Lord. And as you open up your Bible, I'd like you to look to your neighbor. I'd like you to high-five them and tell them Jesus is Lord. Come on, turn to your other neighbor. Tell them you're looking good this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is so good. Amen? Our Lord is so wonderful. I'm just so delighted for what the Lord has done, particularly for the gift of salvation. Amen? You know, as human beings, you know, we are bound to encounter trouble. And every now and then, you know, you go through some situations you don't even understand why they came, they're coming by. You know, it could be a financial crisis. It could be somebody who wronged you so bad. It could be things just literally that are not working out. You're trying to push all the buttons that you know how to push. but nothing seems to be working out. How many people identify with what I'm trying to say? How many people are trying? Did you hear what I'm trying to say? Sometimes these things just go wrong. You know, you never planned it. You never even knew how things would come. It could be through a friend, but just things just go wrong. But I want to thank God because of the gift of salvation, the renewed life that we have received, because it is the life that we had before we knew the Lord. You know, some natural reaction when you are encountered with problems is to combat those problems head on. And sometimes you feel like you want to open up your mouth and you want to use your might and you want to use your strength. Amen. But when you have come into the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, then you're able to surrender unto the Lord. Amen. The reason why I'm telling you this is because in the recent past, I've had some people, not from within this church, that have really, really disappointed me. I'm talking about major disappointments, you know? And I really sometimes shake myself that somebody can really wrong me so bad, and I do not even open up a mouth to speak a word, and a filth word or a word to bring chaos, but I just leave them unto the hands of the Lord. Amen? That's when I'm really, really convinced that this gift that we have received from the Lord is really, really true. And it is sure. And that as we continuously surrender ourselves unto the hands of the Almighty God, we have this confidence that He is in control. And I thank God for that song that says that you know, Israel led us this morning. That, you know what, our God reigns. You know, that God, I'm looking up unto you. That should be a song that we need to be singing every single morning. That, my Lord, I'm looking up unto you every single morning I'm waking up. I don't have enough strength to do the things that I ought to do. I don't even have the vision or the wisdom to do certain things that I'll be faced with in that particular day. But Lord, I'm looking up unto you. Give me wisdom, because you are the one where my help comes from. Praise be to God. It is such a fulfilling thing to know that, you know what, our Lord is the source of our help. He is the source of everything that we go through. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I'm just so excited because of what the Lord has done for me. He has delivered me, and I thank God for the blood of Jesus, that my sins now I remember no more, and that when the Lord looks at me through the eyes of Jesus, I am accepted in the beloved. Church, let me tell you, most of us would not even be here were it not for the way the Lord has preserved us. And He has cut away, He has kind of customized a way out of trouble for every single one of us. The reason why you are here is because the Lord orchestrated when the devil sent out some demons to destroy your life. But the reason why you would come into the house of God, shoot your hands up and open up your mouth in a liberal way to worship God is just because of what He has done, church. Let us not take for granted the gift that the Lord has put in our hands. Amen. Amen. I know sometimes it gets so technical, and what I'm talking to you is, oh, I've heard about that before. But for sometimes, I think it's a wonderful thing just to sit back and think about what Jesus Christ did, that He became your sin and that you become scot-free. He became all the things that you had ever done, your forefathers and your grandparents and all our forefathers did, so that it will be acceptable into the beloved. What a wonderful transaction. What a wonderful trading that Jesus did on 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. Amen. That He was crucified and He suffered shame, that I may be acceptable. I might be accepted into my Father. Praise be to God. And now the temple has been opened. I mean, the curtains have been torn away, and I can confidently walk into the majesty of my Father, and I can address Him as my Father. Just because of what Jesus Christ did. I tell you, church, if you're not excited about that, when somebody can wrong you and you do not open up your mouth to fight or turn your sleeves to fight them, or even, you know what, long time ago before we even knew the Lord, maybe you'd hire somebody. You'd hire somebody to go and kill them or teach them a lesson in the middle of the night. But now you can dare, when they do wrong to you, to go to the Father and tell the Lord, I forgive them. Amen? It is just by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to which I am so delighted. Praise be to God. I'm so excited. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, are you excited about what God has done? Amen. We are victorious, and the Lord is soon coming to deliver us and take us to a home that is preparing for us. Thank you so much for all of you who managed to come to our home. My mother is heading home on Tuesday, and we had a wonderful, wonderful experience where we came together as brothers and sisters to just, you know, feel the fellowship of one another. I don't have words to express my gratitude to every one of you and to all of those who have been praying with us and have been lifting up the name of the Lord in this place. We thank God for all that you did. What a wonderful word we had from Pastor Wilson and Pastor Francis. Guys, do you agree these guys rock? Oh my goodness, you missed it. And I wish we recorded, you know, the message. It was a powerful message, but they mixed it up with a lot of humor, and that's what made it a lot of fun. Now today, I want to speak about something that is not very, very interesting, but very common. I don't expect most of you to shout, you know, to turn around and dance, but I want to teach you about baptism. Somebody say baptism. Water baptism. I realize this is a very crucial doctrine in the Word of God, and some of us, I realize, you know, when we come into a beautiful nation like this, most of us come from different denominations and backgrounds and beliefs, and we have a tendency for us to be mixed, to have, you know, a mixed of ideas or principles that are found in the Word of God. There are some of you who have never heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and some of you may not really be aware, and that's why I would really encourage every one of you to be coming for the Bible study. We had an opportunity to talk about the Holy Spirit, and during such forums, you're able to be edified and you're able to know the truth. For my people perish because of lack of what? Knowledge. So the fact that you may not really be aware or know certain truths doesn't mean that those truths are not in operation. They will continue. Those principles that have been set by in the Word of God will continue to be operational in spite of the fact that you may not be aware of it. Amen? There is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what your background is. You need to learn about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. I realize that some of us, you know, came from mainstream churches whereby, you know, for example, the water baptism, you've been baptized. You talk to so many people and have spent some time, you know, on the streets of Dallas, downtown Dallas, and you preach to people, and you know what they tell you? They tell you, oh, you know what, I've been baptized and I have a Christian name. But just being baptized alone, if you were baptized long time ago when you're a child, that doesn't guarantee your salvation. There are certain principles that we need to be aware of that go hand in hand with the gift that the Lord has given us. Praise be to God. And so there are some of you who are just sprinkled some water when they were young. You know, your mama maybe was going to a certain church, and the forum or the way they used to baptize. I was talking to one of our ladies here in the church, and I think she was telling me that she was baptized when she was little. And when I say that, you know, anybody who had not been baptized last Sunday, you needed to come and see me. No, I think there's only one person who came to see me, and I realized somebody came to me and told me, oh, you needed to tell people about what baptism is. And I believe it is very, very important. So what I am to achieve by the end of this teaching, you will have known what baptism is. You have known whether you qualify to be baptized. You would have known what is the right form of baptism. Are we together? Are we together? Somebody shouted amen. Amen. So as I told you, you may have come from a Catholic church. the Catholic Church, if you came from there and you happen to land in America or happen to land in this church, the way of their baptism is that, number one, they believe that you can baptize an infant. Okay? They also believe that you don't have to be immersed in much water, whereby you're buried inside the water and you're taken inside the water and you're brought up. They believe you can be sprinkled with the water. You know, sprinkled on your forehead, and the priest, whoever is who is conducting the baptism, can pronounce that you've been baptized, and from today your name is Stephen, or your name is Joshua, or your name is Joel, or your name is Agnes, whoever the name you have been given. And some of you now, if I ask you whether you are baptized, some of you can lift up their hands and they can still remember. Maybe when you are young, your mama taking you up to church, and maybe you are sprinkled some water, and that to you was baptism. But is it the right baptism? There are some other churches, like until very recently, I believe the Presbyterian Church, right? Yeah, they used to sprinkle people on the forehead and they'll pronounce you baptized. But is that the right kind of baptism? Now, the reason why we have these forms of baptism, number one, is during the church really struggled during the Roman Empire. And the doctrine about what water baptism was authentic, and it was done the way it was supposed to be done just before the church was dispersed, and they went through so much trouble through the Roman Empire. And because the forefathers and the people who took up the gospel did not want to neglect this very major important aspect of Christianity. And so they thought, you know what? Hey, if they were found baptizing people through rivers, they would be gotten, and they would be, some of them would be taken through prison, and they would be beaten, and they would be traumatized. Their lives were, they were taken through a very difficult time. And so they came out with alternatives. And they said, well, we don't have to immerse people through under much water. We can actually take the water and sprinkle it on the forehead. And that is how the sprinkling, the baptism by sprinkling over their heads started coming by. You know, other people came up with other doctrines saying, you know what, as long as you're a human being, regardless of whether you're grown up or you're an infant, you can be baptized. And some of the theories also that have been brought about was that, you know, infants would be sprinkled on the forehead because their ability to withhold breath under much water was wasn't there. And so they thought they would also sprinkle water on their forehead, on the forehead of the young babies, and as such they were declared as baptized. But what is the right form? What does the Bible talk to us about the right baptism? Now, we have to be very, very careful about distorting scripture. Praise be to God. You remember I was talking to you about David the other day? How many of you remember, you know, what I was talking to you about David? How he carried the Ark of the Covenant in an unworthy way. How many of you remember that? He carried the Ark of the Covenant out of an experience that he had seen the Philistines carrying it when they took it over from the children of Israel. And so David, you know, saw how the Ark of the Covenant was being carried, but that was not how God had instructed the children of Israel to be handling his presence, the Ark of the Covenant. Praise be to God. So we need, as children of God, to be very, very careful how we observe the scriptures. There is a danger, because when we are born, particularly to those that have been born in Christian believing parents, you know, you are at a tender age and you come and you receive Christ, the normal thing to do would be to do what you found those people doing. Is that right? Am I right? Like, for example, I was born, you know, I got born again, and my mom was, you know, in the full gospel churches. Now, my tendency was to follow what those people were doing. I remember, you know, like this instance when we were, you know, we would, by the way, you know, the full gospel church is a spiritual church back in Africa. But I remember every preacher who would preach in any given sermon, at the end of the sermon, people would be called forward to be prayed for the infilling of the Holy Spirit.
And I remember I was in one of those meetings, and the preacher, finished up preaching, and he was calling the people forward, and he would come and lay hands on them. And those people who would never speak in other tongues, there was one person who would come and trying to tell me, say, Rakuba Shakoba, say it like that. Say, ra, 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 begin to loosen your tongue. And you begin to speak in other tongues. And I'll start doing the same. La, 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 la. And let me tell you, other people up to today may have left those meetings thinking that they were infilled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. There is a danger. We have been called as children of God to authenticate any principle in the Word of God. Amen? Because my people perish because of lack of knowledge. It is very important for us to believe what our forefathers would tell us. But some of them may have inherited a doctrine that may have been distorted. And we have to be very, very careful, because as long as a principle has been set in the Word of God, it cannot be changed. It doesn't matter how people have taken up that gospel, they have distorted it. As long as that principle is in the Word of God, it cannot be changed. I had also another experience of a person still in the same, by the way, I'm not against this full gospel church. I love that church. That is why I was educated. That is why I grew up in the things of the Lord. But you know, there is a tendency of people sometimes taking the doctrine of faith wrongly. I had an instance of a lady who had come from the city. And in this congregation, it was in a remote area, whereby women had to tie their, their headscarves, And every woman in that church, they had to tie their tampons. In fact, you could not be acceptable if you came through that church. And this lady comes full of the Holy Ghost, and she is ushering by the doors of that church with her nice hair, like some of your most wonderful hairs. I see all of you have beautiful hair. Praise be to God. Can we say praise the Lord, brothers, for our sisters? Hallelujah. I love when a lady comes into the church, Alex, I'll not say what I remembered. I love when anybody, particularly a woman, she comes and her hairstyle is well done, and she's coming smartly dressed into the presence of God. Amen. I also love a man who comes in well-dressed and, coming into the sanctuary. We need to come so dressed. I remember in a church that I went, my bishop was so much against people coming in slippers in church, or people coming just anyhow in the house of God chewing gum like, oh, you're not supposed to come like that. We're supposed to come decently, because this house represents the presence. It represents the dwelling of God. Hallelujah. And that's why we wouldn't want to do things that would blaspheme the things that happen in this church, because people come in through those doors of this church building with needs, and they call upon the name of the Lord, and God answers their prayers. So it is in a decent way for anybody to come through church. Even if you have one tunic or one garment, just wash it nicely. Take a cast iron, just iron it nicely. And when you're coming to the house of God, really, God is not interested with your clothing, but it's something that happens when you're coming, smartly before the house of God. Anyway, cut a long story short. And so this woman comes, and she's full of the Holy Ghost, and she wants to come and experience the anointing in this house. But she had come from a church in the city, and she didn't have a headscarf. Let me tell you. The moment she stepped on that door coming into the church, the women that were seated on the behind row, they started saying, Shindwe Shako Shaya. Oh, I rebuke you. I rebuke you. Oh, the devil is in the church today. I am serious. It's a dangerous thing for us to be ignorant. Now, I don't even have time to tell you things about Paul talked about women covering their heads. She was particularly speaking to a particular church because of things that were going on in that church. Okay? But now there's a dangerous thing if we can take the principles that are found in this word and distort them. Praise be to God. The Bible says in book, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6:25. You can write it down and then you can go read it later. And we are supposed to be careful to obey all in this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that we will be counted as righteous. Praise be to God. Wonderful, wonderful scriptures. We need to be careful to observe the commandments that are in this word to this letter. And God spoke through to Joshua and he told him, on this word that I've given you, on these instructions that I've given you, you shall meditate upon it day and night. And after doing so, you shall be what? Prosperous. You shall be successful in all you do. Praise be to God. So there are certain things that you've maybe you learned from your mama, you learned from your church that you used to go, but it may not necessarily be right, even though it kind of drew you close to God, but it is good all the time to get the word of God as a reference of what you believe in. Praise be to God. Are we together? Hallelujah. So what does the Bible say concerning baptism? And as I told you, you may have come from a denomination that sprinkled on your head while you're still young, or they prayed for you when you were an infant, and now you don't see the need of baptism because you were baptized long time ago. But we're also going to see, what do you need in order to qualify? Now, when we go back, open up your Bibles in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 3, 20 to 21. How many people have their Bibles? Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Peter. Please write these scriptures down because they're going to help you and help. Maybe you might even teach them to your children later. So that you, it's a wonderful thing for us to leave a heritage, an authentic heritage, biblical knowledge to our children and to people that we are going to interact with. Now the Bible says, 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 20 to 21. To those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built, it is in it only a few, 8 in all, were saved through the water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Somebody say amen. This water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of the dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear consciousness towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to explain that verse. All of you listen to me. Now, the behavior of the populations before Noah, they were so much perverse. There was so much perversion. There was terror. There was people. I mean, people's hearts were against God. And actually, if you read the accounts of what God spoke some very, very, very intricate and shocking words that actually would make you fall off of your seat. If you read the account from the book of Genesis, chapter number 6, 5 to 17. Genesis, chapter number 6, 5 to 17. The Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. And it repented the Lord. This is what scares me. It repented the Lord that he had made man and put him on earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. In other words, the population or the generations before Noah was so much perverse against the Lord. There was such a every kind of sin that was detestable before the Lord, and the Lord repented. Can you imagine a point that the Lord comes to and he says, I repent that I created you. I repent that I put you in the womb of your mother. I repent that I brought forward a creature called man that was formed in my own image and likeness. And the Lord determined to wipe them off the face of the earth. But among those people, there was one man that was a preacher of righteousness, that so the Bible calls him. And his name was Noah. And God gave him instructions to build an ark. And I remember I've told you that it took almost a generation for Noah to receive the instruction and to follow it up until the ark was complete. Number one, we learned from Noah that Noah was obedient before the Lord. Praise be to God. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He was a man of faith. And God determined to save his entire clan. Eight, the Bible says, eight in all. Among the generation that lived until the time of Noah, God determined to wipe the whole generation. And he said, build an ark because I'm just going to destroy these people. They are perverse before me. There is terror in the land. There is adultery. There is fornication. There is every kind of detestable sin before me. And I can't handle this generation. I even repent why I created them. No! Listen to me. Build an ark. Because in due time, I'm going to wipe this generation off my eyes. I'm not going to even want to entertain any one of them. Because I want to wipe them. Sin provokes a punishment that separates the person or the committer of that sin from the Lord. These people were so perverse before the Lord, and the Lord wanted to separate himself from these people. And the means by which he was going to finish them and put them off the face of the earth is through water. He would kill them by drowning every single one of them except those eight that were in the Ark of the Covenant. Praise be to God. And so the Bible admonishes us here in the book of 1 Peter that, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you. I'm heading up to a point. I'm trying to build it so that you can understand why we have to be immersed in much water and rise up with the Lord so that we can now celebrate the life that God intends for us to celebrate in entirety. So this water symbolizes, and actually as the Lord lives, a time came, and you well know as I do, that there was much rain in the land, and everybody was destroyed except for the family of Noah. And that ark, Noah's ark, sits somewhere on the mountains of Ararat as an evidence that the Lord destroyed people because of sin. Hallelujah. Are we together? When you go home, I would like you to go read the Bible in the book of Genesis chapter number 6 from verse 5 to 17. And you will see exactly how God felt about sin and how God determined to exterminate people or to separate himself from those people who had sinned. And now we come also in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 10, the first two verses. Can you open up your Bible there? The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 10, the first two verses. It is about Moses. And this is what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians, the first two verses of chapter number 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. Hallelujah. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Moses here depicts an imagery of Christ. And you remember how God determined to evacuate the children of Israel from the land of captivity into the promised land? And he ran them through the Red Sea, and how God miraculously disconnected them from the pangs of the enemy. And Pharaoh here stands and depicts a type of a devil. Before we know the Lord, we are so much entangled and completely in the kingdom of the enemy. We are enslaved by the pangs, in the pangs of hell. We speak and we say and listen to the things that the dictates of our common enemy. Praise be to God. But a time came for God to deliver the children of Israel. And he picked up Moses. And Moses goes to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. He would not even release the children of Israel. I want you to know that, let me tell you, it has taken faith. It has taken God and his angels and powers and God revealing himself into your heart for you to be removed from the pangs of the kingdom of the devil. Let me tell you, for somebody just to preach a message and for you to be convicted and you to acquire faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You have never seen your heavenly Father with your naked eyes, but because of the concept of faith that can only be introduced to you by God revealing himself into your heart, it is a miracle. It is a miracle. Pharaoh's heart was completely hardened, Julius, completely hardened, and it took the hand of our Father to release the children of Israel and set them on a course that God had determined. Are you together with me? And so the children of Israel are on their way and they are wandering. They are coming into the Red Sea and they didn't even know how to cross it. And God miraculously separates the Red Sea. Man, if you read the account of how many chariots, there were about 600 chariots. Praise be to God. 600 chariots and 200,000. 200,000 armies that were designated to go and pursue the children of Israel to bring them back into Egypt. And God, through Moses, a type of Jesus, obeys God, a man of faith. Are you listening to me? Obeys, listens to the voice of the Lord. He had a choice to doubt the Lord. He had a choice even to... Did I hear it from my mind? How many times do we get into such an area when God commissions you or tells you to do a task that is impossible? And you, I think that must have been my mind. Wow, it must have been the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Some things never make any sense. Praise be to God. I know you know what I'm talking about. Yeah? Hallelujah. Some things, let me tell you, most of the things that God will speak to you will never make sense. You might be maybe not doing well in school, but you hear a voice that I'm your conqueror, I'm your defender, I'm your shield, and I will cause you to pass every examination. When you investigate your mind, I don't have everything that it takes for me to pursue and do this examination. When you look at your divine connections or connections that can link you up so that you can get a miracle to pay that school fees, you may not have anybody. You might have a child that is running out of work and you do not know even how they're going, you don't even know how what you're gonna do. You are in a quagmire. You are in a situation whereby, God, I need you so desperately. And let me tell you, at that very nick of time, when you hear the promptings of the Holy Spirit, hearken unto that voice, because he knows how he is gonna do it. God spoke to Moses and he told him, lift up your staff and this Red Sea is going to separate. And I'll create a dry land. And my children will walk in that dry land. And they are walking, all the multitudes of the children of Israel, with the hearts and the possessions that they had. And I want you to see how difficult it was for them to drag the children. And they're just crossing the Red Sea into the other side. And behind them, there are 600 chariots, 200,000 pursuing them. Men of authentic war in Egypt pursuing them. And as they get to the other corner, they are so freaked out. They are so worried. Oh, God. And I can see most of them beginning to wonder, we would have just stayed in Egypt. Everything would have been fine. I would have better just become a slave to the devil. Instead of now being pursued, he is going to kill us once he gets us. But God knows everything. He lives in his majesty in heaven. He controls the affairs of the planets. He controls the affairs of planets that we do not know. He controls the affairs of the universe. How much more is he going to take care of you? How much more is he going to be concerned about you? It doesn't matter what you go through. God says that the very numbers of your hair are numbered. He knows what numbers of hairs fall when you're coming out your hair. He knows much about you. He is concerned about you, church. Don't let nobody discourage you or put you down. By the way, very soon I'll be speaking about the power of blessing, the power of positive words. Words, curses can come out of your very mouth. The same mouth can speak a blessing into your life, into your children, into people that you relate with. Do not just be accepting. I thank God for Pastor Wilson. He was saying that he was in a meeting the other day, and somebody was saying that today he was, I think the pastor was conducting a burial ceremony. And he says, oh, today is this family, tomorrow is that family, and he was pointing at people. And pastor was telling, why pastors don't say if tomorrow is, will be me? They just want to say tomorrow will be you, tomorrow will be you. When they say that, say, no, I refuse it. I'm not going to die until the Lord determines it. Mark the words of people who speak. Let me tell you, no idle word goes wasted. Actually, the Bible says that every knee, every word that you speak idly shall be judged before the Lord. I'm talking the truth, Sister Irene. Every word. Can you imagine how scary that is? That you might be joking with somebody here, you know, playing tricks, you know, and you know, but every word will be, it will go through the scanner. And the Lord will remind you that very moment. You relive that moment when you say that word. When you called your wife a cow, when you go before the Lord, let me tell you, when you called her a cow, you relive that moment. When you called your child a goat, tough. You know, like, let me tell you, when they say it in our vernacular, when you say it in our mother language, it's even worse. I say, I don't know what you say, June, in your language. When somebody says in your vernacular, mother language, it sounds worse. If I say, by the way, in America here, they call somebody an old dog. And actually, that's a word of like, you know, you're really esteeming that person. If you use my vernacular to tell somebody you're an old dog, you better be born again, because you better pray that that person is born again, because you're really going to face it. It sounds bad. Actually, in our vernacular, I don't know how you say it in your vernacular, Sister Agatha, but when you use your vernacular, it sounds very bad. So mark your words. Let somebody to call you a dog. Because you might be, aya, it's serious. It's serious. You might have somebody, that person is just, every time is just, you know, you're working and you're not getting anything. That's how a dog does. It's like running. I don't want somebody to call me an old dog. Call me by my name. You call me by an old dog, I'll say, let me know. Aya, it is the words that you speak out of your mouth. Let me tell you, I was reading a book by Derek Prince, and that prompted me, I'm going to teach about blessing and curses. Because, you know, I came to understand that, you know, there's this tendency, and this is what I said, is a dangerous thing to have just gotten information from other quarters and not from the word of God. I always thought maybe a curse can be pronounced by your parent. But I realized, no. You yourself can pronounce a curse upon yourself. Oh, I'm so discouraged. I don't know how I'm going to do this thing. This thing is so difficult. Let me tell you, if you say it's difficult, it's going to be difficult. But even if you don't have a solution, say, I know my God is able. You know, I thank God for my wife. My wife, in spite of the things, I think she has learned from the word of God. Even when things are so bleak, my wife tells me, don't worry, baby. Things are going to be okay. And I don't see the sense what she's telling me, things are going to be okay. Things might be so south, and she's saying, things are going to be okay. And you say, this one doesn't know what she's talking about. But now let me say, sometimes you read the word of God and you say, she is right. Because God calls those things that are not as if they are. They are. The fact that you may not have your answer. You know, Fred, and you're beautiful. Have you been trusting God for your children? And been praying and calling upon God for your children? The fact that everything seems so negative. You never know, man. One day can be 1,000 days and God can turn things around. Did not the prophet of God just pronounce this day tomorrow, this time tomorrow, the economy of this particular place is going to be different. You may not have money. You may not even know how you're going to pay your bills, but God can turn around a situation in a single moment. It includes somebody writing you a check of $13,000 that changes your whole life. It including, let me not even go there. Hiya, it is true. God can change situations in one day. Let us trust God. We just sang here that our God reigns. He surely reigns. And if he's reigning over situations, over bodies in the universe that we do not even know, he knows that gravitational pull from every moon in the universe, from every moon that is around Jupiter, so that that planet will not go haywire and come and hit us. He knows that the right pull that will contain that planet in that place so that there will not be any collision. Think about how God has created the space junk. The other day, there was this spacecraft that a satellite, an old satellite, that they were talking about the size of a bus, that they had not coordinated its how it was going to fall. And I had people from the interview, they were so scared that somebody, maybe a junk could hit them their head. God knows everything. What are you talking about? Think about that we are living in 30% land and 70% water. And yet the sea doesn't come to surmount us. I mean, think about it. Yeah? God has orchestrated. Think about how he made the layer of oxygen so that when everything comes into contact with oxygen, it is completely disseminated. I heard and I read that every single moment, there are so many space junks that would intend to come and destroy the earth. That if we didn't have a layer of oxygen, there would be chances that some of us maybe will not be here. Maybe a meteorite would have hit you and you'd be exterminated. But the Lord determined. But by the time that space junk hits the oxygen layer, it burns up and disseminates. Because you are special. Because this earth is special. Because you live in a special place. Somebody say hallelujah. You are protected 24 hours. When you dream an 18-wheeler coming to kill you, it is not going to kill you because God protects you. He has charged his angels over you that when an 18-wheeler has been sent to come and kill you, God has sent his angels over you and he stays them away. He knows that you're going to succeed. It may not seem so. How many times I wish God would open up our spiritual ears to see the protection that is about and surrounds us every time. And the servant of Elisha said, oh, I'm so scared. Can you see how much you're surrounded? And God spoke to his servant and said, I wish you can open up his eyes and see the army that is on my side. There is an army that is on your side that is so numerous. When the enemy has intended to take you back, he cannot succeed because God has charged his angels against your life. I don't care how much money you don't have in your bank. I don't even care what people have spoken against you. I know that my God ruleth. And no matter how they dream and orchestrate and plan life against you, Sister Charity, they will never succeed because you're a child of the Most High God. God says that he has engraved your name on his paps and nobody can change that status. Hallelujah. The world needs to know. The devil actually needs to know who we are. I think he is done for something. Because if he only knows how protected we are, and if only we know also how protected we are, God Almighty, you will not be scared when walking in the streets of this city. Because you are protected. Even when you are handling the people who are sick, God protects and keeps those viruses and germs and things that you would think and scared. Oh my God, how am I going to handle this AIDS patient? God knows how he's going to protect you. And he can never touch you, neither can he touch your children. God, I'm speaking what I know and I'm speaking what I say. Some of us are here because of the grace of the Lord. We are here just because of the grace of the Lord. If we go by our feelings, I'll not even be in church this morning. If you go by our feelings, you'll be maybe drinking somewhere right now. But because of what God has done, because of his gift that is so eminent and so special and so real, God is the Lord who works some good work in us so that even when we are not aware, he is accomplishing something through you. Are you listening to me? Were we speaking about water baptism? Oh, Jesus. Okay. So Moses, as they crossed the Red Sea, Moses looked unto the thousands of the devils and demons that were following, some type of demons that were chasing after them, and the Lord told him, now you can pick up your stuff. And God destroyed all those people, all those enemies, and the chariots of armies of Egypt through water. And there was celebration and jubilation that God had taken through them and experienced a water situation, a type of baptism. Glory be to Jesus. Write this, Colossians 2, 12, 13. Having Colossians 2, chapter number 2, 12 and 13. What did I say? Okay, you're listening. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Now, also remember that in the last verses in the of the book of Matthew 28, actually verse number 19 and 20, God leaves us with a commission. Go ye into every part of the world. Amen? And teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all the things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. And our Lord says, amen. Jesus himself, he is just thrown from the wilderness and he realizes that he needs to set an example. The way I know that Jesus was not sprinkled is because the Bible tells me that John was baptizing people in the river Jordan. Okay? And Jesus comes by, and when John looks at Jesus, he says, I don't deserve for me to baptize you. But Jesus tells him, you know what? It is okay, so that the scripture can be fulfilled. I want to set an example how important this aspect is. And John said, it is okay, Lord. And John receives Jesus and he baptizes him in River Jordan. He immerses him and he lifts him up. Now, one thing you have to understand is that Jesus needed not to repent. Jesus was already the Son of God. Jesus really didn't need to have faith. He was faith himself. Jesus knew obedience. So he did this just to set an example of what we ought to do. It is part of our Christian life. Praise be to God. Now listen, this is exactly what happens. When we are baptized, before we are even baptized, there's a prerequisite that we have to follow. Number one, from the scriptures that we have just read, what are the prerequisites? Number one, we have to be born again. We have to be men of faith. Then number two, what did Noah and Moses do after God instructed them to do something? They obeyed. So number one, we have to be, after, in fact, the Bible says that after we have repented of our sins, after we have obeyed and after we have allowed the Lord to work something through us so that we are men of faith, the next thing what happens is that we are supposed to be baptized. And this is exactly what happens. When we are baptized, what we are doing is activate our faith. Our faith demonstrate an act. You know, just like Noah demonstrated his faith by obeying God, even in the midst of a dry season and a prolonged dry season, to build an ark. What the Lord tells us is to demonstrate our faith so that when we are immersed in much water, the water represents the burial, the going to the cross. We are crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. Before we are born again, we all have lived in an old nature. And so what happens? Now, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. All those who receive Jesus Christ, they are brand new creatures. Hallelujah. You receive a new body. You receive a new mentality. You receive a new mind. Everything about you changes. Your perspective about life changes. And so when we are immersed in much water, we are telling the Lord, Lord, I know what you did for me. I can identify. You are supposed to be saved. I mean, you're not supposed to go through what you went through, but I was supposed to go through the same. And what you're telling the Lord, you did this for me. You did this on my behalf. I'm going to the cross with you. I'm going to the cross with you. And after they crucified him on that old ragged cross at Golgotha, they went and buried him. And so when we are immersed in much water, we are also going through exactly following the steps of our master. We are buried in him. Hallelujah. And you know what? When Jesus was buried, he stayed there for how many days? 3 days. When Jesus was resurrected, what does the Bible tell us? That he had a new body. Hallelujah. There were marks on his hand, but everything about Jesus, I mean, his body was completely, that body would go through walls. He had a brand new body. And so what happens is that when he was buried, after they hung him on the cross, his body that he had was left somewhere in the grave or in the Hades or whatever it is. But he was buried, and the old nature with us is supposed to be left in the grave. And so when we are picked up from the water, behold, there is a new body about us, and the old has completely been annihilated, and thus we have fulfilled the law of Christ. So in other words, much water, as we read from Noah, it represents some sort of a punishment that God had to bring upon the population, killing all of them through water. And so when we are immersed, we completely annihilate and consummate and kill the old nature in us. And so when we are immersed, we kill, we completely do away with the old nature. And so when we rise up again, symbolically, we rise up as Christ rose up. Praise be to God. That is the whole symbolism that is depicted in the baptism of water. So, I can ask you a question today. Were you baptized when you were a kid? You can say yes. But what's that, the right baptism? According to the scripture, there's nowhere where it is indicated that people were sprinkled with some water. Those are human doctrines. People's doctrines that have evolved from the scriptures. I don't care whether your background is a Catholic or Presbyterian or whatever it is. It is unscriptural for you to have been sprinkled with much water. And you can tell somebody confidently that that's not the right biblical kind of baptism. We also in the scriptures do not have a record where children were baptized. You have to be at an age whereby you're able to know who the Lord is. You're able to determine and to know that, you know what, I am a sinner. And now I need a savior. And I completely yield my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you trust him for salvation. You repent of your sin. I am kid like my young son do not know what repentance is. He has to be at an age where he recognizes what repentance is. He has to be at an age where he recognizes what obedience is. He has to be at an age where he knows what faith is. And at that point, after he has qualified, he has gone through the prerequisites and pre-qualifications, then everybody, every single one of us who has never been baptized ought to go through that process. Because you know what the danger? You read throughout the scripture. Read throughout the scripture. In fact, let me read the scripture for you here real quick. We're almost done. Acts chapter number 2, 37-39. This is Peter speaking to, preaching to some people. And this is what the Bible says. Acts 2, 37, 39. When the people heard this, when the people heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized." Repent and be baptized. So repentance is one of the pre-qualifications. You cannot just be baptized if you have not repented of your sins. It will just be a work of vain work. Actually, it will be like a blasphemy to the Lord. So you cannot just, you know, find some people being baptized and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. And you say, "Oh, I've never been baptized. I just saw a preacher baptizing people." And you go undress and put on your baptism clothes and get baptized. It will be vain work. So number one, qualifications. And the Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 18:8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. He believed in the Lord. Repent, believe in the Lord, and he was baptized. So it goes hand in hand. Number one, repentance. Believe in the Lord as your personal Savior. Be a man of obedience, a man of faith. All those things will be worked out by the Holy Spirit. And now you qualify to be baptized. Praise be to God. And we know the right form of baptism. It is through immersion. Because through immersion, what you're saying is, "I am going to the cross, identifying with my Master, identifying with my Savior." And just like in the days of Noah, that was a kind of baptism. There is a punishment to the old nature, the old body that ought to be taken through inside the water. And by the time you come up, you'll have the same body, the nature with the Lord. You may not have to go through walls because that time is coming. But there's a destructive force to the old nature that takes place when you're baptized. Hallelujah. Do you know? Could it be? That some struggle with things that they used to suffer in their old nature just because you've never been baptized? Could it be maybe some of those things have haunted you every single now and then, and you wonder, "Now that I'm born again, why am I struggling with these things?" Could it be it is because you've never been baptized? Because there's such a destructive force that takes place when you're immersed in water. That old nature is left up there, and when you come up, you're a brand new creature. Amen? It is part of the package of salvation. Hallelujah. It is what the Bible says. I know you can, you have the right to object to it, but this is exactly what the Bible says. This is exactly what our Savior, your Savior, was baptized to set an example for us. Amen? Amen? Shall we stand on our feet, please? Everybody, close your eyes. I just didn't bring this message to teach you so that you can be baptized next Sunday. If you have never been baptized. But I believe the reason why the Lord really, really put this message in my heart is for you to understand the significance and the importance of you to be baptized. You've never been baptized. To know what exactly the transaction that takes place when you're immersed in much water through baptism. It's like we identify with the Lord. We identify with the things that he went through. We identify that he went to the cross, and we want to go to the cross with him. We want to be buried. Water is some kind of a tomb where Jesus was put in. And as we come out, we also come out and resurrect with him as he resurrected after the third day. And he showed himself to so many people, including his disciples. That's exactly what happens. He walked in the newness of life. Even just before he ascended, up to be in glory, where he's seated on the right hand side praying and interceding for you and me. I believe that body that you receive after baptism and the experience changes you completely. The new nature has its own things that will be able, will guarantee your victory in the Lord. Conquer some insurmountable mountains that have been difficult to conquer. And I strongly believe that some of the things that we might be struggling with is because they are still connected. There's something that needs to be destroyed through the power of water baptism. And you might be here, you've never, first of all, to qualify for water baptism, you've never given your life to Jesus. That is one of the preconditions for you to be baptized. You have to repent of your sins. And the Bible says in the book of Romans 10:10 that he stands at the door of your heart. He knocks. And if only your heart can believe that he is the Lord, you can be made righteous. And if only you can confess with your mouth, you can be saved. For it is by the heart. When you believe, you believe unto righteousness, and you confess with your mouth unto salvation. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, when he stands at your heart, do not harden your heart. And he is here for you. He takes care of you. He sustains you. He provides for you. He's the source of our life. I even wonder how people who are yet to give their lives to Jesus, how they make it. Because the Lord is intended to be your source of life, just as the soil is the source to the plants and the water is source to the fish. Then the Lord is supposed to be the source of our lives. He is the place where our help comes from. You might be in this congregation, you've never given your life to Jesus, and you're saying, Mr. Preacher Man, I feel the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and I wanna surrender my life to the Lord Jesus. I want to repent of my sins. I want to be born again. Lift up your hand right now. I'm going to pray for you. Is there anybody in our midst, in the name of Jesus, who needs the Lord to receive the Lord? Is there anybody? You might be here. You might be sick in your body. You need a miracle from the Lord. And you're saying, God, I need you so desperately. I'd like to pray with you. Lift up your hand right now. Name of Jesus. Is there anybody? You desperately need a miracle from the Lord. You need an intervention. And you recognize it's only God. Yes, I can see that hand. See those both hands. I see those hands going up. You know what? You don't have to lift up your hand. It's not going to please me to see so many hands. It's about you and the Lord. I also need a touch from the Lord, by the way. And so in this corporate anointing, I need the Lord to stretch his forth and touch me as well. Lift up those hands up to the Lord. Hallelujah. We want to pray right now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bless you. The Bible tells us that everything lays bare before you. There is nothing that is hidden from your sight. And I thank you, Father, because you are able, you have an ability to see through our situations. Father, stretch forth your mighty hand and intervene in everybody's situations whose hand has been lifted up. In the name of Jesus. Some of them might be needing a financial miracle. Some of them might be needing issues that cannot even be communicated publicly. Lord, you know those situations, Lord, and I pray that you may touch us in a special way, oh God. I thank you because when we trust you, Father, we are able to see the fruit of our trusting you. And I pray that, Father, it shall be well. Father, bring forth the miracle, bring forth the package that so long we've been waiting for. And we want to just stare at that package as you bless us, oh Lord. Move in a mighty way, oh God, through our situations. I declare those situations solved, my God. I declare a divine connection, meeting with that situation right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever the situation is, my God, meet with it according to your abundance in glory. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, I just want to release a special blessing over this congregation, over this your children, Lord, that have come here faithfully to lift and exalt your names. It's so humbling, Lord, to know that they've come here just for one reason, to please and to minister to you. I pray, Father God, that in our lack of understanding, that you may bring things that we need to know, things that we need to be affiliated to.
Draw those things close to our hearts, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father God, I declare that this week will be a special week. It will be a week where you shall bless the work of our hands. I speak your protection over these people, Father, your children, as they drive through the streets of Dallas, Texas. I pray that an abundance of rain shall come and fall over their families in the name of Jesus. And for those that have somehow withdrawn from trusting you, you shall cause them to trust you the more in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you glory. We give you honor. Blessed be unto your holy names. We thank you, Heavenly Father, and we give you praise. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody say amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. We thank you, Lord.